This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I've had trich hair pulling since I was like about 5 and a half, 6. I guess that was around that age, like started with my eyelashes, then kind of moved to my eyebrows when I was around 9, and then maybe when I was around like 10 and a half, almost like 11, the hair on my head. I mean, I guess like over the years, I have discovered that I do have some, like, not so much skin picking. It'll be like those hairs that are maybe those ingrown hairs that you want to kind of go for that might get me a little bit into like a bit of picking at my skin. And I know that like I definitely will like pick at my cuticles. That is something that has become more interestingly prevalent, more a part of like what I deal with maybe in the last, I don't know, 7 years. I'm not really sure why. But, you know, these things kind of like morph into a variety of different behaviors at different times for some people. And then, aside from my BFRBs, because we're all so much more than that, I am a gymnastics coach to kids. I also am a dance teacher. I've done a lot of just different jobs like nanny, musical theater choreographer, a lot of working in preschool, all different things. Yeah, so I have a cute little dog. He's like Chihuahua mix. And yeah, I live here in New York.
So, when did you learn that there was a name for these behaviors that you were doing?
So, this was like a story, but I remember, I guess I was 11, and I remember my mom, like, there was a name for it, but for some reason, it was like not being brought forth to, like, nobody had said it to us or anything like that. I had gone to a therapist, you know, when I was like 6 and a half. It was kind of just like play and storytelling. Like my parents were going through like a really awful separation and stuff. And, you know, to me, I just didn't really get it. I remember she was a really nice therapist. And then around the time I was 11, we went to New York Presbyterian Cornell, like, so a big place here in New York. And I remember like being like kind of like, it was weird. I remember my mom mentioned this after. She was like, it was like I was being observed. It was like very weird. And I knew it. And like, I remember like being asked to like draw, like, okay, now draw a tree. And like, I kind of felt like it was this weird game, and I kind of knew what they were doing. And I was like, well, I'm gonna draw that. Like, I love drawing, I always have. And so, like, I drew like a tree, like without leaves. And they were like, and why did you do that? I was like, well, just because I'm better at it. But okay, to cut to like the chase, I remember then meeting with the therapist there, and I was not happy. I did not want to be there. It was something I did not want. It was just my mom wanting to help me. And what's wrong with my child? Like, how can this be stopped? Like, so many parents are, you know, have that mentality. How can I help my child? How can I make my child stop doing this thing? Picking, pulling, biting, whatever that may be. And So this therapist says to me, I'm like talking about my weekend with my cousins because, like hanging out with my cousin. And she was like, well, what you have is called trichotillomania, and it means hair pulling madness. And we're here to help figure out what is wrong. And I was just like, okay. It didn't like the name, the trichotillomania part did not bother me. It was the fact that she added the word madness into it that made me feel so incredibly uncomfortable. And I just remember she also said, okay, we're not here to talk about your cousins. We're here to figure out what's going wrong. And I got up and I walked out, like at 11 years old. And I was like, I'm not going back in there, is what I said to my mom.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Oh,
What was
yeah.
she thinking?
I have no idea. And like, it makes me think, like, what in a way, like, almost like an awful person to say something like that, to say that to anyone, but to say it to a child and to like, and that this is like New York Presbyterian, Weill Cornell, blah, 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 big, 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 big name. And you have someone like that. It was just like this absolutely awful experience. And I had no desire to speak to anyone about my trick or anything like that. And I just felt I was angry and sad all at the same time. And one of the things like I always think about, I was like, if they, and this wasn't until much later on, like I like after I found TLC Foundation, like after I discovered them, I was like, wait, they were around when I was a child going through this. And here I am, and this is like another thing I always say, I've said this to people. This is big city, big area, metropolitan area, New York. Like you would think this would be something so much more known or spoken about, especially in a place like where I went for therapy. And yet this organization was never mentioned to me or my mom or anything like that. And this was before, like, it was the very beginning of the internet, like, and nobody, like, that wasn't something like in terms of searching necessarily. So, yeah, that was that.
Holy cow. And did that stop you from seeing therapists in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I would not speak to anyone. I had no desire to speak to anyone because it just, it kind of reinforced the shame and this something is wrong with you. And it wasn't until probably I was 16 when a lot of other things were going on in my life. Like, really, I was always anxious, but I didn't have a lot of friends. My friendships got better when my hair pulling got better, interestingly enough. Like, when I got, it was really awful all through middle school. And then in high school, like by the time I got to high school, my hair had grown back to the point that I could wear it in a regular ponytail. I still was pulling out my eyelashes and my eyebrows were like, meh, whatever. But it was, I kind of was in the quote unquote normal looking passing in a way, even though I didn't have eyelashes, but I was doing makeup at that, wearing makeup, and my makeup was a big part of me, not necessarily hiding it. That was part of it, but then I also discovered it as like later on is a really big part of like my self-expression and like just making me feel good about myself. But I did not go back to, and I know I'm jumping around, I did not go back to therapy until I was around 16 because a lot of other life things were happening, like my depression, anxiety, a lot of inst like instability in my like home life. I was staying with my aunt and living with her because things are just, my parents had the most tumultuous separation, divorce that just like, it didn't even exacerbate any kind of behaviors. It just, at least like when I, in terms of BFRBs, but it just made life so much more difficult. And I was just in a really difficult spot. So I went back to therapy then, but it wasn't anything with a BFRB focus.
What's so interesting is that I too would like I would go in and out of therapy. I love therapy. I think it's great. Anytime I'm facing any type of challenge, I go in and then I leave when I feel, better or have the tools. And as an adult, there have been times where I've gone to therapists and I don't even bring up my trichotillomania, like not at all, because I've had moments, and I'm sure, I'd like you to expand on this too, but like when I've gone and brought it up to people, some people have no idea. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to educate you right now. Like, I want to. So tell me about your experiences.
So when I went back to therapy then, was for like a lot of different things. I was doing a type of therapy called DBT, which a lot I felt incredibly helpful because also at this time, and because it's such a part of my past, I forget about this sometimes, but I was self-injuring and so that was also like a big reason why I went to therapy. And DBT really helped me. And also, when I think about it, in certain ways, it helped with some of my BFRB behaviors if I thought about it that way. But no therapist even brought it up to me. I was once again back at New York Presbyterian with a much better therapist, but we never talked about my trick or anything because it wasn't necessarily at the forefront just then. I was pulling out my eyelashes regularly, not really the hair on my head at the time, and I was still pulling out my eyebrows, but it wasn't what we talked about. And then as time even went on, I think like I'm in therapy now and I absolutely love my therapist. And I remember when I first was talking to her about it, and this was a while ago. It was, she didn't really know. And she, like, knowing of it, but not knowing enough. Like, there was a one time in the very beginning, and I remember another time it was said to me, the most, one of the number one angering thing when anyone has put it into a self-harm category, and I want to scream. Like, oh, please, it is not that. You have no idea how far, like, that's something that's always very much upset me. And, for anyone to put that into any type of self-harm category because it's not what it is. And my therapist now has like, she's really like educated herself about it. I think I also, I gave her some information, but yeah, still now there's like, they don't know. Therapists do not know. And I just find it not, I don't know if disappointing. It's like, it's disappointing, but it also leaves so many of us. And like, I always like to go back and say, it's like, I am in New York, this huge metropolitan area. And yet you can't find a therapist that knows really what a BFRB is. I can only imagine what it's like in some place that's more rural or not near a major city.
And I too have been kind of like this misdiagnosed, like the self-harm especially, and
Right.
they would give me like tools to use for people that are self-harming, and I'm like, well, it doesn't match, and they're like, you're not trying hard enough. I'm like, well, it actually doesn't match.
Yeah, because I'm not looking in any way for something pain related or something, or to be replacing that, because it doesn't match, like you said, whatever it is I'm looking for, maybe in a sensory way.
And tell me if you're comfortable answering this question from your experiences for people who are listening that maybe don't have a BFRB or maybe they haven't self-harmed before. Like, what would be the key differences that you would say between the two?
I feel like for in a self-harm, and I will just like be, blunt in terms of like something like cutting, you're looking for this different kind of release of maybe something negative that will then get rid of that negative feeling, and I can then just maybe focus on that physical discomfort. And that was me. Or and that was like how it was for me in terms of how self-injury was for me. Whereas my trick or anything like that has never been. And it's always been like, oh, this is somewhat of a calming thing. Or I almost didn't. The biggest reason for like not doing it was like if I'm pulling out a hair, it's a texture reason. It might be because I'm looking for this certain type of feeling at the end of that root. There's no intention of trying to inflict some kind of feeling. Like, do I feel maybe something when I pull out my hair? Yes, but it's not anything in a pain related way. It's like in a, like it feels good almost. And even if it doesn't necessarily feel quote unquote good, it doesn't feel bad. And there's also like this secret aspect of it, whereas as much as I have hid my trichotillomania, it was a different type of something different than hiding maybe something like cutting and that kind of self-injury. There's just so, I just feel like there is nothing that I, for me, that, and from many others that I've spoken to about this, that can connect the two because they're just so different in like what they serve, if that makes sense.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. I feel like, well, people, and when I say people, I mean like, therapists and medical professionals, mental health
Yes.
professionals. They like view it as this like harsh behavior, like
Oh,
I
yeah.
guess from the saying like, oh, you're making me want to pull my hair out. Like, it's to me it's very gentle. How do you feel?
Yes, very much so. It's not this ridiculous, like, yeah, that idea of like, oh, you're making me want to pull my hair out. It's like, I remember there was a kid, because I was terribly made fun of for my trick. And I remember I got an answer right in class about with something, and we were on Teams, and I think I was in sixth grade, and he grabbed his hair like that, like as if, and he like pretended to pull it out and everything, like, making you want to pull your hair. And it's just like one that was horrible. And I remember everybody like reacting like, oh, that's going way too far. But, people think of this like grabbing in this fistful, like aggressive behavior, and it's nowhere like that. It's just like, oh, I feel this hair. Oh, Oh, it has a texture that I like. Oh, okay. I'm just gonna pull it. Okay. Like that, that's what it is. Like there's like this, not this, picture of somebody pulling their hair out in this quote unquote madness type of way. Yeah.
And being, I'm in so interested to hear about your experience as a child because mine, I mean, I felt like I was under this bright spotlight. Every kid, what's that? Why do you have no
Yeah,
eyebrows? Where's your hair? Like,
absolutely.
how did you navigate that?
It was very hard because, and I've heard like over the years, many years, like different people's experiences. I remember one, like with reading your book, I was like, wow, like felt like a different experience than mine. And I think it's because I was very meanly bullied very badly for it. Like, I don't understand why. I don't understand why, but also, like, kids can be mean and they, might look at it as like being something weird and different, and rather than maybe approach it with, not like ignoring or something like that, I was bullied very, very badly, like made fun of, all of those things. Now, that was all mainly through middle school when it looked the worst, where I had the bald patches and everything, and tried every way to like do my best to hide it. And yet, like, I think that was also just part of me being bullied and made fun of. It was just one of the things, like the big thing. But it was like because I was short, because my voice sounded a certain way, because I looked younger than every. So it was just like, okay, well, here's a target, and here's a big part of this girl that we're gonna pick on and bully. And not to say that I didn't have friends. I did have like a good core group of friends who could care less about that. And, but nobody was necessarily ever kind about it. My friends and like, when I got to high school, and this is always interesting, like at this point, I had like all my hair on my head had basically grown back and didn't have eyelashes. Okay. And when people would say something in a curious way, like, can't really see your eyelashes. And I was like, oh, it's because I have blonde hair and they're really light. And, I would say that. Or like, if it was something with my eyebrows, I was like, yeah, I tweeze them on something like too much. And so like that was something people could connect a little bit more, even though like it was still all the same kids because my middle school and high school was attached. So it wasn't like I went and I met a whole new group of kids. It was kind of almost like I became a cheerleader, and could I say almost that my me becoming a cheerleader and becoming a better student almost became my shield. Like it's almost like that. And that to me, it almost sounds gross saying it because, oh, okay, well, I ticked these boxes of certain stereotypes, and it became that I was in a way protected. But then also at the same time, I had a couple of cheerleaders. Fellow cheerleaders who would make every now and then comments about my hair. Why do you always wear your hair the same way? Oh, it's because I like it. Okay, but it wasn't in like the curious way, like of innocence. It was like a poking at something. And at that point, I had a good group of friends and I was able to like manage in that sense. And yeah, it just kind of changed then once it came to high school. It was almost like, okay, we're in high school now. We're not gonna pick on her to the same extent. anymore, if that makes sense.
It just kills me, like to know that, we could have been friends. Where was I? Like, you know what I
But
mean? Like,
exactly. And I
we
think about
needed each
that.
other.
Yeah. And like, when I finally got connected with the BFRB community, and that was in 2017, I felt like this puzzle piece that was missing was filled in, and I felt immediately safe and whole and connected to these people I've never met in my life. And I felt I could tell my deepest, darkest stories to, and nothing bad was going to come of it.
Yeah, so tell me your journey to becoming a part of the BFRB community. Like, you're, I feel like you know everybody, like you had these great memories, and like everyone,
Yeah.
whenever I was lucky enough to meet you in real life a few times, and it's like everyone's like, Leah, Leah, like, how did that happen? How did you find the community?
Through my own research, I remember finding the BFRB community through the TLC Foundation. And that is, it was the Trichotillomania Learning Center. And, since then its name has evolved in different things. So I went to, and it's so funny because when everybody realizes, remembers, wait, your first conference was only in 2017? And like, nobody saw each other in 2020 because lockdown happened. So I was only met everybody in person three times. But it seems like, and I feel almost in a way very grateful for this, I have had a big connection with everyone in the community. And part of that is because her name is Melcho. She is an absolutely phenomenal human being, a force, and truly one of my inspirations, almost like this, I don't know, mentor or somebody. At my first conference, like everybody talked about her. This is, oh, Milcho. She is like this amazing person. You have to go and like to her group. She's amazing. She's amazing. Like she's so full of energy. And she hadn't necessarily, she had only gone to, I think, her first conference maybe 2 years before that. And she's this amazing creative being, this director who does like different. She's done music videos. She's done all these different things. And she created like kind of like mental health ones for the community. And I remember she, the video that she had done was about anxiety. And she interviewed different people. And I was just taken back by her and her energy. And in this, and this, the, my relationship with her kind of like sparked something. And the way that it turns out that it sparked was here we are in this like, group talking and laughing and everything. And I said this, and I, this is kind of like a, it was a life-changing moment. I said, yeah, but I hate myself. And like, she like frozen her spot. She came right up to me and she like, grabbed my hands and she looked at me and she was like, do not say that. Don't say that. Ever say that. Your heart hears it. Like your soul hears it. Like, and, I was crying. A lot of people were crying. And we just instantly connected. And she's in Miami, always doing really amazing things. And I stayed in touch with her. And then at the following conference, she was the keynote speaker. And she showed her one, the video she had worked on mental health wise. And it had to do with looking at yourself in a mirror and like talking to yourself. And that was also part of her workshop she did that year. And at the end of the video, I didn't notice it until she texted me. And I'm sitting at like this table. And it said, I think it says dedicated to Leah Terry. And I was just like blown away. And she talked about it later. And she started this whole thing called the Self Crush Project, kind of like on what had transpired the year before when I had said, and I've never said I've hated myself since then. I might have said I'm disappointed with myself, but I have never spoken that word out loud again and given it that type of power. So I think my our relationship and me being involved with self-crush, what like she created and how it impacted so many people in the BFRB community, it kind of, I think that's how in some ways it has made it that more people have, or not that I've maybe reached more people and just me being open. I also did in 2019 with her a, I guess you could say it, mini, not documentary, but like this, it's on YouTube, on the network, the Self Crush Project, and it's called Leah, A Warrior's Story, Journey with Trichotillomania and Eating Disorders. And yeah, and it was during the this conference while I was getting, the only time I ever got my hair cut was at the conference, like trimmed and everything by the amazing Bianca of the Lighter Foundation. I have to say that. She, like, I let her trim my hair and everything. And it was during that, like, you know, we did this interview, Milcho and I, and like she. So, yeah, it kind of just, I think it reached many people in the community and maybe it connected them to me in that way. And I also am, I feel like I'm talking so much, but I'm one of those people that when I have a passion in something or something that's important to me, especially when it comes to mental health and people feeling connected, I want to do so much to bring people together, to feel safe and loved and understood and cared for and not alone.
What advice would you give somebody who wants to be more active in the community?
I think it's first checking in with yourself and seeing where you are on a comfort level and just reaching out and seeing what it is that maybe you, maybe as an individual, what it is you want to do. And maybe you don't even know what it is you want to do, but you want to be involved. And, you know, maybe part of it could just be, and not just because it's a big thing, but if you're at maybe a point that you want to share, hey, this is something that I deal with and I'm open to maybe, actually, that's a big step, but maybe finding like an organization and people who do things like that, like maybe, you know, change makers or, you know, there's different organizations and seeing, okay, what is it that maybe I can do? I know that I like writing poetry, say somebody feels that way. And maybe their poetry becomes their way of expressing what it is their BFRB is. And that, you know, and maybe they post it. And that's a way of kind of connecting to people and bringing knowledge or to like BFRBs. But I, for me, it's been having this community and of people through how I that I met at the conference and through change makers, like finding what it is that I would like to share or what I would like to bring to help others, even if it's not necessarily sharing my story, but sharing that this is something that I deal with. And I know that there have been people who have run, in a way, art groups because, some of us really love art and things like that. And they've kind of, connected with people that way. And, they have expressed themselves through art and that as a tool in dealing with their BFRB. And I feel that finding the connections with people is the most helpful. And that kind of has can get the ball rolling, even if it's just one person. I know that it's the same thing for me in the eating disorder community. One thing is even just reposting things on social media. If you're not sure necessarily how to get involved or how much you want to be involved, sometimes, like, okay, here are some facts about BFRBs. I'm going to post this on my Instagram story, this, reel or, something TikTok related and reposting it. Doesn't have to even be you, the like, it doesn't say it's not me actually doing it, but say it's one of your videos. And I'm like, oh, this would really help others to see this, and I'll repost it. And that is kind of like a way of trying to be involved in the community, spread awareness, understanding, and sometimes maybe a little bit of silliness because, our behaviors sometimes, I think, if you can laugh at certain things, sometimes it can make things. I know, like, your videos will make me like smile because it's like, oh my God, it's just so true. And in a way, it's like you can like laugh at yourself, if that makes sense. Like, it's like, I'm sorry I'm late, but I just had to find that perfect hair. And yes, that's like almost a sad thing, but like, if you look, I don't know, it's kind of like trying to find certain things that are a little bit funny and can make you laugh and not feel awful about yourself at the same time. I don't know if that makes any sense.